I'd like to turn to the book of Nehemiah. And I'd just like to take a little phrase from chapter 2. Verse 6. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Now I had something else upon my mind, but as I sat there, and I realized that we have great potential here amongst young believers, I thought that perhaps these words would really bring some encouragement to you, and I'll tell you the setting just in a moment. There is a great, great need, as you find in Nehemiah. There was a great need amongst the people of God. You find it all around. This man, as far as he was concerned, his future, his comfort, and everything was supplied to him. He had a very honorable position. He was the king's cupbearer. But he heard news. He made an inquiry. If you look at chapter 1, you find that he made an inquiry. 2, he says, I asked them concerning the Jews. That was his own people. He had, first of all, a great concern for people, his own people. Then you find that we find verse 4, it says here, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. What he had heard had exercised his heart. And here you find a man who was serious about the things of God. Not only did he have this great concern, but you find that he had a burden, and this burden, first of all, was for God's glory. And then it was for his people's good. And then you find it was for the place, Jerusalem, and its greatness. Now, I don't need to apply that. I believe you can apply that. And you could apply it to your own country here in Canada. You could apply it to regions beyond. But I hope that you'll take this to heart. Over 43 years ago, a man stood up, and this is what he read. And you'll forgive me if I'm emotional. But it was a Mr. Hugh Vine, a brother of W.E. Vine. And he read this at my leaving Africa to go to Alaska. And I'll read it again with you. For how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I sent him a time. And this has lived in my soul for all these years. At the conference this afternoon, I had twice a meal with a son of mine in Christ. I heard him praying at the conference. And in the year 1953, at some gospel meetings in a place called Wynberg, in South Africa, God reached and saved his precious soul. I was very happy in the work there. I worked for the oil company, Mobil Oil. I was busy in the things of God. My lunch hours were spent in going to factories. Didn't have anything to eat. Going to factories, preaching the gospel. Gospel meetings at night. And then you find that the Lord guided. But a few years before this, the Lord had exercised my heart. And I had a burden. And that burden led to prayer. And that prayer led to deep exercise of soul. And this verse reminds me of a man that was very dear to me. He was a man called Hugh Vine, brother of W.E. Vine. Some of you have that dictionary. And Mr. Vine did not have any children of his own. He had never married. And he was a man who was, I thank God that he ever came into my life. His face shone. He could quote the 119th Psalm. If you were with him in a railway carriage, he was learning and quoting the scriptures. And when he read this, it made a deep impression upon my heart. And I was supposed to respond to this. Here's the question. Where long shall thy journey be? And when shalt thou return? That is over 43 years ago. I've been away on a journey. I told Brother Baker today that I've been out in Alaska working for the Lord, and I thank God for the privilege. But you know, I have been homesick for the work of the Lord, and you'll excuse me because they mean very much to me. We have different colors of skin. These were what we call Kate colors. And I loved them. I was happy amongst them. And what I want to tell you is this. That when God calls you and God sends you, it doesn't necessarily mean a place that you like. I do not like the cold. I've been there for 43 years. I love the people down in South Africa. The Lord would only have to give me a wink and I would be back to get into that work. Because the work in the north, if any of you have ever labored up there, it's like flint. You know, you just see a little spark now and again if you hit hard enough. But you find here that the question was asked, how long shalt thy journey be? Long enough to see the Lord's hand in blessing, in the salvation of precious souls. I thank God for the gospel of Christ. It is the dynamite of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It has been my joy to go to a place where the Holy Spirit was about to work and precious souls were reached and gloriously saved. Our brother was telling us this evening about the people that Titus worked amongst. And I had the joy of going and living among the Athabascan people in Alaska. Now, I did not know anything about it. I didn't know I'd have to cut wood and cords of wood. I didn't know this, but this is the place where God had called us to labor. How long shall thy journey be? When shalt thou return? Long enough to preach the gospel, to see the precious souls reached and saved, men who were steeped in sin. I remember up in that area, there used to be an old railroad and there were boxcars there. And I passed those boxcars and I heard a murmuring. I opened the door and there were three men. And they were like wild animals. I don't know whether it had seen daylight for a day or 2 days. for the place was reeking with liquor, bottles here and cans there, and you would wonder if God could ever reach and save one of those men, the son of a chief, Joe Escalita, whose little his sister that we've seen gloriously saved. Joe got glorious delivered and saved. Another one and his father, Pat Bell, and his father, Tom Bell. These people were under the power, and maybe you don't know much about it, but there is a real enemy out there. There's a real underworld. There's Satanism, there's demonism, and these things are what you, the places you go to where the gospel hasn't been preached. This is where you find you go into the kingdom of Satan, where he has held power, where he has held sway, where he has people in bondage. I saw this father and his son walking around the lake, and there they were under the influence of drink for years. And I got down and I'll tell you, if you haven't got compassion for souls, you'll never see one reached and saved. You need the compassion of Christ. We're hearing about that tonight. The compassion of Christ. I dropped on my knees and I prayed to the Lord. Lord, I said, can these men be saved? And through the preaching of the word, through the life that was lived before them, one night, this man, Pat, came right up. I give him a tract. Old John's dead. I knew John. And he came up. I didn't call for hands or come up to penitence bench or anything like that. On his own, he rose and came up. And he said, I've received the Lord Jesus as my Savior. He says, old Pat is dead. I'm new Pat. He lived to prove it. Baptized, and as we're hearing tonight, gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus. His dear old father, Tom, when he saw this change, he said, I go out trail. He says, I give this up, but you know, when he got out there, it's as bad as ever. And he came in, and one morning, and I'm jumping over this, but I want you just to get the gist of what it means, and the joy that you have, and that a little life that's lived for God, that you can do some good, you can see some people relieved, some people delivered, and see them gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This dear old man came in. I'd had him at the gospel meeting, and you know, you can talk about tongues. Well, people, you know, where I come from, and some of them say to this day, he was very hard to understand. Some of them tell me that. But whatever happened, maybe I didn't have the Athabascan language, but you know, one of the things that God uses is sincerity and compassion and to see precious souls delivered. And you find dear old Tom, one morning, I was taking my son up to the little Indian school, and it was very cold, and I went in to see Tom. And I talked to him very simply. These people owed money to the store owner. He kept them in almost semi-slavery. And I spoke and used the illustration, if someone paid that debt, Tom, what would you do? Oh, he said, that would be good, good. And then I used the illustration to speak about the debt that we could not pay, that Christ himself paid on Calvary's cross. He saw that dear old man getting down at his table, and in his Athabascan language, praying. I don't know what he said, but I know he got the Christ. I knew he was delivered, and you know, he lived over 90, and I had his funeral. And I was talking to another Indian Christian man, Jim McKinley. I said, Jim, what did Tom say? What was his last words? He said, the last words I heard was, let me up or take me up. That was his prayer to the Lord. Let me up or take me up. And let me tell you, it says, how long shall thy journey be? See precious souls saved, and see these ones baptized and gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the joy that that gives you, you know, it doesn't matter how long. But I thought of dear old Mr. Vine as I sat there. And I see you're young. And I was young at one time. But I thank God I can look back on 43 years. 43 years in the Northland, a bit of a place I don't like the cold. I like the sunny South Africa. But the thing is, that's where God has a word. Dear young believer, there's places, if you would just do like this man Nehemiah, get exercise, hear reports. You hear reports. I've talked to some young people who, over in Singapore. I was over in Waianae just recently with a young man from back east, and there hasn't been meetings there for years, and we saw two precious souls saved. And I'll tell you, if you just get exercised before the Lord and really get concerned about people who are in need and the world needs, whether it's in your own country or up the Northland or overseas, but here you find something about Nehemiah. And with these few words, I want to close. In verse 5, you find that he presented himself to the king, and this is what he said, "Send me. Send me." Would that ever be a desire begotten in your soul to get before God even tonight? Say, Lord, if there's a place we can use little me, send me. This was what he did. He dedicated himself. He desired to be sent. Then you'll find, if you look at it in verse 7, it pleased the king, let letters be given to me. And you'll find in that verse there would be safety on the journey. Young believer, you know that there are places in the world where they're dangerous. The place that I left, South Africa, there's danger. But I would rather be in the center of danger and be in the will of God than in the place of safety, the place of pleasure, the place of everything that I need. I would rather be in the midst of danger than in the midst of God. Than out of God's will and living for self and self-gratification. And then lastly you find here in verse 8, and it says, a letter unto us of the keeper of the king's forest that he might give me timber to make the beams. The provision was assured. Now I don't know whether you realize it or not, but when you see these servants of the Lord that come along, they do go on journeys. I went from South Africa right to Alaska. If I had time tonight, I would love to tell you about it. But you know, when I left there, I had only enough to take my little family to Ireland so that I could get a visa. And I would love to tell you this, that God has supplied our needs, everything that we needed, without telling one person our needs. You see, if God needs you, God will feed you. He'll supply your need. You're not beholden to men. You're the Lord's free servant. And I've proved that. And I've talked to people sometime, and they ask me, what missionary society do you belong to? What's this you belong to? How do you live? One thing more. Nehemiah had the king's permission. And he had the king's provision. And if you and I thank God, I can look back
And thank God that there's a day coming when we'll all meet in the floor. I'll never forget Mr. Vine reading that. How long shall thy journey be? When shall thou return? I don't think I'll ever return. I thank God for the journey. I commend it to you. There is no greater service in this whole world than yielding yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to do what I did, go over the seas. But yield yourself. Get exercise. It may come to weeping. It may come, and this is deep exercise. Because there'll be things that you love. There'll be people that you love. And there'll be many times there'll be tears. I left my widow mother, I think, about 4 times. And you know, it was hard the last time I left her. I can see her yet. And she says, "O poor son, serve the Lord. Be faithful. The Lord bless you." She lifted up her little hands. And in a couple of days, I had to return. I was flying to Amsterdam. And in a few days, when I slept overnight there, I received a report. I had to be back. And I took a funeral. So there's times when there's the Lord Jesus wept. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But thank God, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and he thanked God he's seated at the right hand of God, that Prince and the Savior. May the Lord bless you. Give you deep exercise. Our hearts go out to you, young people. I just wish we could make decisions for you. And the one great decision is, Lord, send me. And may the Lord bless his word for his name's sake.